It's good to have you with us today at the Ridgeview campus, Blue Valley Baptist Church. I always enjoy an opportunity to get to come over here. Normally, I travel this direction with my wife. She is unable to be with me today and expresses or sends her regrets. She is right now getting on a flight to Boston with some other administrators from the Kansas City Public Schools to go observe schools there. But I know better. She's going to eat lobster. I know that. And I'm a little bit jealous. She's a little terrified that I'm going to be able to navigate these next 2 days without her. I am a little distracted as a person, and so she has given me very explicit instructions over and over again, like I'm four, reminding me of the things that I need to get done, and I'll still probably forget some of them. But the house, I assume, will be standing when she returns. It is, though, good to be with you today. I want you to think with me for just a moment about what your very first memory is. I mean, if you go back as far as you can go in your brain, what's one of the first things you remember? Now, for me, it's associated with church, and it's associated with friendship. I was a preschooler when my family moved from southwest Missouri, where I was born, a town called Aurora, to what I consider to be my hometown of Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And we were looking for a church home, and my dad had met a man whose family was roughly the same age as our family, and that man was a deacon in a little Baptist church, and had invited my father to come and our family to come and attend that church. And so Dad thought that'd be a great opportunity for us to connect, and so committed to do that. And I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I remember getting ready for church that morning and my mom telling us that we were going to church to make friends. And my very literal little preschool brain interpreted that as we were going to church, and when we arrived, we were going to be given the raw material to make people. And you can only imagine how thoroughly disappointed I was when I arrived and discovered that these people already existed. I mean, it really was a bummer. I almost left church because of it, but I hung in there. But one of the things that did actually happen that day, even though we didn't have to make the people, we did have to make friends. You don't just stumble upon a person and suddenly they are your friend. There is effort that has to go into making that friend. You have to invest into that friendship raw materials, things like common interest and things like stage of life and things like common backgrounds. All of that is fed into a blender which creates a mutual affection, which creates a friendship. And those people have become more than just friends to us as a family. They have become our family. Pat and Paul Cook became second parents to me. Their daughters, Terry and Tammy, became my sisters. We spent every Christmas Eve together, every Thanksgiving together, every July the 4th together. From the time I was 7 on, we took every vacation together. After we all got married, we synced up our Christmas and holiday plans so that we would make sure that we were all home on the same day. We made friends, and they became more than friends. They became family. Well, those same kinds of raw materials are required in any other kind of friendship that we want to form, and that includes our friendship with God. Today, we are going to encounter a passage of Scripture that has a show-stopping statement in it. Jesus says, "You are my friend." Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Jesus, the eternal God, the one who is identified in John chapter 1, verse 1 as the Word, the eternal Word, the Logos, the one that is holding all things together according to Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus calls us His friends. That's show-stopping. But built around that statement, that show-stopping statement, are verses which give us an idea as to the raw materials that feed that friendship with Him. And I want us to look at that today and consider what it means to be friends with Christ. If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 15, John chapter 15, and look at verse 12, and having found verse 12, would you stand please as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, as we continue our journey through the book of John. Here's what Christ says. Christ says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Now, these handful of verses actually kind of restate some of the content of the first 11 verses of John 15, a passage of scripture that on this campus Pastor Steve walked through with you last week, and that on the Antioch campus I walked with the Antioch people through as well. So there's some repetition as to what we've already heard, but the difference is this statement. Twice, really, in two different ways, where Jesus calls us friends. So what do we learn around that statement that gives us an idea as to the raw material that builds our friendship with Christ? First, this. Friendship with Christ involves love. And you are free to say right now, you went to seminary for that? I mean, you went to seminary to tell me that friendship involves love. I'd have figured that out on my own. And clearly, you would have figured that out on your own. But there is something I want us to pay attention to here this morning that's very important. The love that we're talking about in this first piece of the sermon is not our love for Christ and not really his love for us. The love that I am talking about that feeds friendship with Christ is a love for one another. This passage of Scripture begins with the words, "This is my command." It's not a suggestion. It's not something I'm wanting you to try out. He says, "This is my command, that you, the disciples, and by extension us, that you love one another. If you wish to remain and to abide in my love, part of what is required is that you love one another." Now, we're talking about friendship with Christ, so why are we spending a lot of time talking about how our friendship with Christ, our love for Christ, is built and really founded in some ways on our love for one another? That seems odd until you stop and think about it. One of my good friends is a guy named Mike Jazacek. There is not a universe in which Mike Jazacek and I would normally be friends. We could not be more different than one another. Mike is a physically gigantic human being. I mean, it's like there's an eclipse anytime I'm around him. And he has a personality to match that. It is just, there is not an off switch in that guy. It is just full, unfiltered Mike Jazacek when you're around him. I mean, the man literally was not born with a filter. He says some things sometime that I think go too far, all right? I mean, he's just a crazy, crazy man. I mean, we don't have the same hobbies. We don't have the same background. There is not a universe that would bring us together as friends, but there is one thing that makes us the kinds of friends we are. And how it really even started. We had a common love for my son. Mike was Caleb's position coach in high school and invested in him not just as a football player, but as a person. And as we got to know one another in the context of his love for my son, we became fast friends. And his wife and my wife and Mike, we spend time together. We enjoy being around one another. So as we step back and think about why Christ would be saying friendship with me involves love for one another, it starts to make sense. Friendship with Christ involves love for him as demonstrated in our love for his people. But he says more than that, doesn't he? In verse 13, he doesn't just tell us to love, he tells us the character of that love. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, than that someone laid down his life for his friends." So he's saying here, as you think about what it means to love one another and therefore obey my command, and therefore in obeying my command, abide in my love. If you go back to the earlier verses of John 15, we see that the character of the love that helps us or that is to manifest itself in our love for one another is a sacrificial kind of love. Greater love has no one than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's something they were going to know clearly as they watched Christ unfold his life in the next few hours, and literally within hours, hanging on a cross for them. Love for one another that Christ is speaking of here, that builds our friendship with him, is an others-centered kind of love. Not a greeting card sentiment, but a sacrificial, self-giving kind of love. That is the nature of the love that we are to have as a body for one another. I see people post occasionally complimentary things about Blue Valley Baptist Church on social media, Facebook, Twitter, things like that that you guys are on. And a lot of the complimentary things that they will put out there have to do with benefit. I love my church, people might say, because they have great programming for children. Or, I love my church because the youth pastor invested in my child who was going off the rails and brought that child back to faith. I love my church because I just feel like I'm at home when I'm around those people. And all of those things are great. I mean, I feel those kinds of things too. I mean, that's a part of my experience, not just as a pastor, that's just part of my experience as being a part of Blue Valley Baptist Church. But the day I was writing this message, someone talked to me about how Blue Valley had been there for them. They started talking about their Sunday school class, and when this person was going through a very difficult time, how their Sunday school class was there for them and had supported them and helped them meet needs and had called to check on them and expressed help to them in tangible, helping kinds of ways. And so that person, whether they realized it or not, was saying that I love my church because they've laid down their life for me. They have stopped what they are doing for my well-being. And Jesus is telling us here that a component, a raw material of what it means to be friends and to develop deeper friendship with me is to have that kind of love for one another. You don't look for a church home like you're looking for a new car. It is not something that you're buying. It is something that you are bringing your life in tandem with. That's part of the reason that Sunday school is so important. You hear us talk a lot at Blue Valley about the importance of Sunday school. The reason we do is because it is in Sunday school where a connection is formed that allows you to experience from one another the kind of love Christ is talking about and gives you a vehicle to express that love to others, which is what Christ is talking about. And in loving in this way, we are developing our friendship, maturing our friendship with Christ, because we are partnering with him in loving one another. That's the kind of love that Jesus models for us, and that's what friendship with him requires. Next, this. Friendship with Christ requires obedience. Friendship with Christ requires obedience. There is a stark and unadorned verse in the passage that we have before us today. It is verse 14. You are my friends if, conditional. In other words, I know that you're my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is saying that we cannot claim friendship with him if we are not obedient to him. And this is not isolated in this one verse. Go back to verse 10, a verse that Pastor Steve led you in considering last week. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's saying the way that you abide in me is that you abide in me like I abide in the Father. And part of how I abide in the Father is doing what he says. So do what I says. Love means being obedient to Christ. So friendship with him requires obedience. We cannot claim to be friends of Jesus if we are utterly unconcerned with what he asks us to do. I mean, I want you to consider any award show that you have ever seen and the people that win those awards. People will walk up and thank, you know, the Academy or whatever for the award that they have won, and then they will say something that leads you to believe that they are friends with Jesus. But if you examine the content of what they're being awarded for, and sometimes even the content of their speech themselves, you can clearly see these are not people who are obedient to the Jesus they claim to love. Jesus calls that kind of profession of love a lie. We have to obey the one we love. Now, before we turn into guilt-ridden, hopeless people, let's understand that Christ in himself and in his resources gives us the capacity to do that which he asks us to do in order to be his friend. I want you to consider verse 15. There in verse 15, he says this. You did not... Oh, wait, I can't read. I've got tiny print here. It shrunk. Let me go back to verse 15. There we go. That's 15 and not 16. No longer, he said. Gee whiz. Do I call you servants? For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I've made known to you. See, there is a sense when we hear statements like, in order to be a friend with Jesus, you have to obey. There's a sense where we think, well, this is not going to be good, but I just have to suck it up and do it. You know, this is you know, me having to be the robot and Jesus being the programmer. I mean, I don't really know why. I don't really know the purpose. I don't know why this is holy and this is not. I just do it because he says. And Jesus says right off the bat, he says, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I am not calling you into a slave-master relationship in a negative fashion. Now, I know that Paul frequently refers to himself as a bondservant of Christ, but there's a different context in him sharing that. Jesus is saying here, I don't want you to just do it because I said. He says that you're my friends because I have shared with you everything that I've heard from the Father. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. You're my friends, and you can do what I ask because I've shared with you everything that I have heard from my Father. You see, in saying that, Jesus is saying you're not a slave in the sense that you are a partner. You're a full partner with God in his program and in his plan for the world. You're not being asked to do this just simply because I said. You're being asked to do this because you're being invited into the most astounding enterprise in human history. You are being invited to participate with a holy God in the reconciliation of a lost world to himself through me. That's why I ask you to do these things. That's the reason that if you love me, you will do these things. Because you've been given an incredible opportunity to join forces with God to do his work. And friends do not ignore what their friend is saying. When we are truly in relationship with someone, and they ask us to do something, and we make the commitment to do it, friendship will drive us to do that thing. Several years ago, we got just this big, obnoxious snowstorm here in Johnson County. And my friend Carl Kincaid was away on some dumb trip. I don't know where that was. And he said, "Can you go and clear my driveway?" All right? Like an idiot, I told him I would. He's got a big old driveway. Now, if he had said, "Will you go clear my driveway?" and I'd said yes and not done it, that would have been indicative of the kind of friendship we have. But instead, because he was a friend and asked me to, I went. And then he joined me, and we spent together the worst 4 hours of our lives trying to get that big old heavy wet snow off of his driveway. That's just what friends do. Friends will commit to one another, do what their friends need. So to claim friendship with Jesus is to understand why Jesus is telling us to do what we do, calling us into partnership with him to do that, and then actually doing what he asks. Which then brings us to this final important aspect of what it means to be a friend of Christ. Friendship with Christ brings with it understanding. Friendship with Christ brings understanding. Why are you friends with Jesus? Why are you friends with Jesus? Well, Jesus begins to paint for us a picture in verse 16 of why we're friends. It's first because he made us his friend. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." But then I want you to understand the nature, the purpose for which, to understand why it is that you have been chosen. Why you have been called into friendship with Christ. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, it will be given to you." You see, friendship with Jesus transcends that personal relationship. This is what Jesus is saying. Friendship with him transcends the specific self-directed benefit that you get from that relationship. It has a broader purpose, and understanding that broader purpose is important. And what is that broader purpose? That broader purpose is to bear fruit. Now, we talked a lot last week about that whole idea of bearing fruit and what it meant to be a fruit bearer. But the word that I kind of attached to the idea of fruit bearing that helps me understand it is the word conformity. When Jesus calls us to bear fruit, he is asking us to conform to his nature. The whole vine imagery is what brings that about. If I abide in the vine, and the vine is a grapevine, what's going to be produced in my life? Grapes. I mean, that which the vine is becomes the product of my life. So as I abide in Jesus, the product of my life is what? It's Jesus. My life becomes conformed to his, and my life begins to manifest his life to the rest of the world. So why is that important? Here's why that's important. Jesus, when he was incarnate, Jesus, when he existed on this planet, was limited by time and space. He could be here. He could be with these 12. He could be with this larger group that needed to be fed. He could be with this larger group that needed to be taught. He was limited by time and space. But he says in the Gospel of John, "If I leave, you'll be able to do more than I was able to do." Why? Because there's going to be a whole lot of me in you. As you abide in me, my life begins to be produced in you, and suddenly, rather than be isolated to one place in time, I am a lot of places. My life is flowing out of you in a lot of different directions, and my word is made known, and my glory is made manifest. If you're going to be my friend, I need you to understand what I need you to do. Not just do what I'm asking you to do. I need you to understand why it is I'm asking you to do this. And it's not so that you can feel sentimental about a salvation. I'm asking you to do this so that you can carry on my work when I'm at the right hand of the Father. So from Jesus' perspective, this is the purpose for which we are saved. And it cost him to give us that opportunity. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Understanding that, we see what our friendship with him cost us. If it cost him that, then we must lay down our life to him by yielding our lives to him and letting his life flow through us so that he can be manifest to others. So let me ask you a question. Is a one-sided friendship an authentic friendship? If he's doing all for me and I'm doing nothing for him, is that a healthy relationship? Let me ask you this. Is it even a friendship at all? I would submit to you that it isn't. And if we're not doing what Christ has asked us to do, for the purpose for which Christ has asked us to do it, then we need to stop and think. If we really are friends with Christ. Jesus speaks these show-stopping words in John 15, 14. He says, "You are my friends." And then shows us the nature of that friendship with him. It involves love shown to his friends. It requires obedience to his commands and an understanding of why we are his friends in the first place, to manifest him to the world around us. We sing, "I'm a friend of God because he called me friend." But are you a friend of God as measured by your love for the people of God? By your obedience to the commands of God, and by your submission to the purposes of God.